Deuteronomy is the fifth chapter. Deuteronomy is the fifth chapter. And in the interest of time, and I want you all to read that entire chapter when you get home, not while I'm preaching. Don't decide it's going to be the time you're going to read the Bible while I'm preaching. And I'm going to preach from the Bible, but in the interest of time, let's go to the third chapter. The fifth chapter and verse number 15. Amen. Deuteronomy 5 and 15, and it just simply says this: "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm." Take your seats, take your seats. And remember, I believe a couple of months ago I preached from the subject matter, "Never forget what God says to remember." Don't worry, I'm not going to preach the same message today. That came from one of the Psalms of David. But here, the fifth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy says, "And remember." I want to talk to you all just briefly today from this subject matter, remembering not to forget. Remembering not to forget. Let me start off by saying that it's ironic how we often forget the things worth remembering, but we remember the things worth forgetting. And sometimes we survive more spiritually and personally by learning not to forget. In fact, we grow, we mature, and we become deeper in faith and rooted in relationships with God and with ourselves and others, and healed from our hurts by learning the ministry and the art of forgetting. Now, whether you believe it or not, it's a ministry. It's an art in order to forget. And there are some things we just need to forget about, because if we don't, they become permanent residents of our living experiences and not occasional visitors. In fact, they become like a living disease that we keep feeding, and therefore we get no better. And so there are some things we really should remember to forget, and yet there are some things that we should forget to remember. And so perhaps we need to be clear about this idea and this word forgetting as it relates to the believer's walk and way of life. And we do have a biblical passage that could serve as a template to teach us and to test this meaning of the word forgetting. The fact of the matter is, over in the third chapter of the book of Philippians, very familiar passage of scripture, Philippians 3:13-14, the apostle Paul, amen, from the New Living Translation, he says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." He says, "But one thing I do," he says, "forgetting what is behind and straining forward toward what is ahead." He said, "I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward." And then there's another translation that I like. He says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it on my own." He says, "But one thing I do, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. He said, I press to reach the end. And then, of course, we know that the King James Version that we're accustomed to says, brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I press towards the mark and the prize of the high calling. And so again, we need to have clarity on this concept of forgetting and how it relates to remembering in our walk of faith. And so what Paul's intention or meaning when he says forgetting that which was behind him. So oftentimes we take that scripture and we misquote it. Amen. We like to say, well, forget about what happened to you on yesterday. Forget about what happened to you 10 years ago. But if you all don't mind, amen, me just taking a few moments and taking my time to explain to you what this word really forget really means. Because in verses 5 through 8 of Philippians, the third chapter, Paul records, and the first thing he does is catalogs a list of experiences and accomplishments and benchmarks that he had achieved in his personal life and his religious life. You will hear him say that he was circumcised on the eighth day. He would say that he was a member of the tribe of Benjamin. He says he's a Hebrew of Hebrews. Sound like he has some great credentials here, don't it? He says he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He says, in touching the law, he said, I persecuted the church as if I was right. Sound like he's bragging now. You know, like some of y'all like to brag. You like to brag on who you know and what you have done. He says, so touching the law, he said, I was a bad boy, Sister Carla. He said, I persecuted the church. He says, and no one was more confident in their flesh than I was. Amen. He said, if anybody thought that they had it going on, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I had it going on. Anybody think you got it on? Don't raise your hand. That's a trick question. Amen. He says, yeah, I thought I had it going on. But notice what he says. He says, but I am placing that behind me. He says, I am forgetting that which has happened. And so Paul decided that the past events of his life were not going to rob him of his present and future joy. Can I just stop right here for a second and encourage somebody here today? Don't let your past life, don't let where you've been and what you have done, don't let that hinder your present and your future life. Hallelujah. Can I take my time and preach this thing? Because, you know, we got some folk that lives in the past. Amen. You can't enjoy today because of something that happened last month. Amen. You can't enjoy praise in the name of the Lord because every time you go to praise him, the devil have a way of bringing up your past. And you got to learn that there's now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's very simple. You sometimes you have to tell the devil, I know I did it. I've been there and I've done that. But thank God I serve a God of a second chance. I serve a God who has promised to cast all my sins into a sea of forgetfulness and remember them no more. I'm glad that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Whatever you do and wherever wherever you go. Don't let your past hinder the joy that God intends for you to experience right now. How many of y'all know there's a joy right now? In the midst of what you are going through, I come here to encourage somebody. Don't live in the past. Amen. Forget those things which are behind. And so the Bible tells us, can I preach the Bible here? The Bible tells us how Paul and Barnabas launched the first missionary trip to spread the gospel. And they had visited several places and they had proclaimed the gospel. And they began communities of faith. And the Bible said that they took with them a young man by the name of John Mark. In fact, you'll find that story in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, because it tells us that Paul wanted to return to visit those that they had established in the faith. And Barnabas says, I will go get John Mark. But I want you to notice something. John Mark, he had left Paul and Silas in the middle of the first journey. Amen. And he went back home. John Mark said, I've had enough of this. And so Paul saw no benefit in inviting one who quit on the first journey to accompany them on the second journey. And so the Bible tells us that that the two preachers argued so strongly. They were preachers. You mean to tell me that sometimes preachers argue? The text says that they argued, that they split, and they broke up their team of ministry. I come here to let somebody know the breakup just didn't start on yesterday. Hello here, somebody. There's been trouble in the church for a long time. You ought to look at your name and say, there's been trouble in the church for a long time. They broke up. Amen. They broke up their team of ministry. And so Paul then took on a man by the name of Silas as his partner in ministry. And guess what? After that, Barnabas is not mentioned nowhere else in the New Testament after the split. But I need you to notice something, because I'm going somewhere. When you read in 2 Timothy, when Paul is facing Nero's chopping block, and time has gone by, and over the years of contention, he writes to Timothy to come. He says, I need you to come, and I want you to come before winter. I need you to bring me my coat. I want you to bring me my books. And then notice what he said. He said, bring John Mark with you. I don't want y'all to miss it. Now here, they done split up. They done argue. They were in ministry. They were buddies. And because of a disagreement, they have split up, and years have gone by. I need y'all to let y'all know, don't be so quick to write folk off. Don't be so quick. Oh, y'all don't like this kind of preach, because some of y'all looking at me like, Pastor, I told them that, forget them, and I don't care what happened to them. Don't be so quick to write folk off, because you don't know how God is going to use you in the end. Notice something he said. He said, I want you to bring John Mark with you, for he is profitable to me. And so notice what has happened. Paul had put it in the past, but he had not forgotten. I'm going to say it again. He's put it in the past, but he has not forgotten. Let me help somebody here. Some of y'all can bring up some stuff right now that happened to you in the past that you thought that you may have forgotten about. Somebody have wronged you. Let me come down the center aisle here. Let me come down this way. Somebody have wronged you, and you ain't seen that person in almost 40 years, but I dare that person to walk in church right now. Come on here. I dare that person to walk in church. The first thing you're going to remember is what that person did to you. And so guess what he was doing? Paul had to put that behind him. He did not forget that John Mark had deserted them and that caused a breach. He just chose not to let it consume him and continue to live in resentment. I stop by here to tell somebody there's some stuff that you just need to let go. Look at your name and say, let it go. I don't know who I'm talking to. Let it go. It happened a long time ago. Let it go. She pulled your hair when you was a little girl. Your hair done fell out, grew back, fell out, grew back. It done fell out. You wearing a wig now. You still mad at that individual. I'll stop by here to let somebody know. You just need to let it go. Look at your name and say, let it go. I don't know why God said, let it go. You got to let it go. Don't let that thing control you. Because I stop by here to tell you that the very thing that you need to let go, when you let it go, don't be surprised if God don't use that very same thing to elevate you, to move you forward, to make you more stronger, to make you more spiritual in your walk with him. You see, forgetting simply says that I have not removed it from my mind. Because I can't. There's some things you just can't remove from your mind. Some of y'all been praying, Lord, what's wrong with me? I done prayed and I told you to just wipe it out of my mind. Well, I come to let you know there's some things that you just simply cannot remove from your mind. But guess what? You don't have to focus on it. You don't have to be consumed with it. Come on here, somebody. Don't let it run your life. Don't let it control your happiness. Don't let it decide what your disposition is going to be. It happened, but now it's time that we move on. Somebody say, move on. Paul said, says that forgetting is learning to live with it and not in it or on it. I got to live with this thing, but guess what? I don't have to live in it or on it. There was an occasion that Paul says three times, I asked the Lord to remove this storm. I'm going to feel like preaching in a minute. This storm in my flesh, and three times the Lord told me what? That my grace is sufficient. Fishing. Paul could have went home and decided I ain't going to praise him no more. I'm not going to preach no more until he removes, Diane, this thorn in my flesh. But because God's grace was sufficient, Paul knew that because he had the grace of God that he could keep on keeping on. I stop by here to let somebody know in the midst of whatever you're going through right now that God's grace is sufficient. And that means that you can keep on praising him. That means you can still keep on declaring that the Lord is good all the time. You can keep on shouting. You can keep on saying hallelujah anyhow. Do I got any hallelujah anyhow folk up in here? I'm not going to let my troubles get me down. But when my troubles come my way, I'm going to lift my head up high and say what? Hallelujah. Anyhow, I'm not faking, but I got a hallelujah on the inside. Why? Because I know that God's grace is sufficient. And so forgetting is not always a loss of memory. It could very well be a choice in living healthy, whole, and not in the past of the pain. Somebody said, never allow your yesterday to use up too much of your tomorrow. Some folk can't live today because they're still working on stuff that happened on yesterday. Yesterday is gone, and guess what? Tomorrow is not going to be the same. And so it seems like when you look at our text in the fifth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, it seems like Moses in our text is attempting to help Israel to get ready for their tomorrow. I come here to get you ready for your tomorrow. Amen. Some of y'all ain't ready for your tomorrow. Why? Because you're living too much in the past. But Moses is trying to get them ready for their tomorrow. So somebody say, Pastor, you don't know what's getting ready to happen tomorrow. But guess what? I don't know what's getting ready to happen, but I know who's in control of tomorrow. Come on here, somebody. I know, my God, I know who controls my tomorrow. And so look what Moses does. And so he begins to guide them. Moses gave them the first five books. When you look at Genesis was his book that taught them about the beginning. And Exodus was the book that he recorded their history and their exit out of Egypt. And then Leviticus was the book of rules and regulation that governed their faith and their fellowship with God and man. And then you have the book of Deuteronomy. And this was the book that he gave them, which was the second law. And so the essence of this text today as believer focuses upon God's his blessings and not life's burdens and blunders. I stop by here to tell somebody, you done focused enough on your life blunders. It's time now that we focus on the blessings of God. And I'm just wondering, is there anybody in here that know without a shadow of a doubt that you're blessed? Come on, don't play with me. Oh God, I just want to talk. In the midst of what you're going through, you can declare that I know that I'm blessed. I know that I'm blessed. I don't have a pocket full of money, but I still know that I'm blessed. Things may not be going exactly the way I desire them to go, but I stop back here to let y'all know that I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm blessed. Trouble on every side, but I know that I'm blessed. You may be afflicted in your body, but you need to declare in this place that I know that I'm blessed. Can I get about five folk to declare, I know that I'm blessed. I know, I know, I know. Don't let the person sitting next to you pull your hand back down and try to remind you of what you're going through. I know that I'm blessed. He woke me up early this morning, blessed me with the activities of my limb, put a praise down on the inside. Honey, I know. My God. Thank you, Jesus. I know that I'm blessed. And so he tells them, he said, you need to remember a few things. You need to remember who I am. Come on here. He says, you ought to remember who God is in the midst of what you, some of y'all done forgot who God is. You got to remember who God is. He says, I am not like any of the other gods. I'm not like Baal. I'm not like Pharaoh. I'm not like Pan. He says, I am the Lord thy God who brought you up out of Egypt. I almost jumped over the pulpit just then. He said, my God, I'm the one that brought you out. I'm the one that brought you through. I'm the one that sustained you. I'm the one that opened up a door when there was no doorway. I'm the one that healed your body. I'm the one that's kept you in your right mind. He said, whatever you do, don't get so bogged down on what you're going through that you forget who I am. He said, I am the one that brought you up out of Egypt. I'm the Lord who blesses you. He said, don't ever forget who I am. I'm greater than any of your obstacles. woes. I'm greater than any of your affliction. Do not let the fear that you face stop you from realizing that I'm still God, and beside me, guess what? There is none other. I stop by here to let somebody know he's still God. You ought to tell your neighbor, he's still God. If you lose everything you have, he's still God. My God, and he's God all by, my God, I'm God all by myself. Obstacles, they're just simply barriers in our lives. But obstacles in the life of a believer becomes an opportunity for God. Stop looking at your barriers as something that's trying to destroy you. I need you to look real deep and remember who God is, and then find out, how can I, my God, what's the opportunity that's being presented right now for me, knowing that I serve a God that works all things out for my good according to his purpose and his divine will. I don't see no purpose in it yet, but I tell you what, just keep walking on by faith. How many of y'all know if you walk by faith and not by sight, God will fulfill purpose in your life. He takes the good and the bad, and he works it out. I stop back here to let you know that God is at work. He's working it out, Sister McKnight. Come on here. He's working it out, Sister Lori. He's working it out, Sister Diane. He's working it out, Asia. God is working. I know sometimes we wish we could see the tools he was using. I know we want to go to his side sometime and see what plans he got laid out for us. But God said, you don't need to see my plans. You don't need to come by my shop. Hello here, somebody. All you got to do is just trust me, because all things working together, and all I want you to do is just love me. I'm wondering, is there anybody in here that love the Lord? I need about 10 folk to jump up and say, I love him, and sit down. Sit down. Because guess what? The more I love him, the more God's going to work this thing out for me. I love the Lord. Here's my testimony. I love the Lord, and I won't take it back. I love him with all of my heart. I don't want to preach too hard. I love him with all my soul. I love God with all of my might. I love God with everything in me. And because I love God, I know God's going to work it out. He's going to work it out in my favor. Somebody say, in my favor. You can get jealous if you want to, but God's going to work it out in my favor. Well, I got to hurry up here now, unless I preach too long up in here. He said, but the first thing you got to do is just remember who God is. He is, I got to move on. He is my refuge and my strength. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. God is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He is the strength of my life. God is my everything. He's my healer. He's my strong tower. He's my deliverer. He's my way maker. He's my breeze over troubled waters. He's my buckler. He's my shield. He's my everything. My God, I'm glad I know who God is. He's my strong tower. Somebody say, he's my leaning post. God is my everything. And so he said, whatever you do, just remember who God is. And then not only do you remember who God is, but you also got to remember who you belong to. You are a child of the King. You ought to pat yourself and you ought to tell yourself that I am a child of the King. Come on, say it again. I'm a child of the King. I once was an outcast without hope on this earth. I was born of the covenant. I was an alien by birth, but I've been adopted into the royal family. I feel like preaching here now. I've been sealed by the power of God. You know what that means? I've been sealed. That means I'm protected. That means I can tell the devil, you can't touch. Somebody ought to say, you can't touch this because I've been sealed by the power of God and I've been adopted in his family. God made us have you in a place for such a time as this. And somebody say, why me, God? And God say, why not you? God say, don't you love me? God say, don't you trust me? God says, don't you depend on me? So instead of saying, why me? All you got to do is say, yes, Lord. Yes, to your will. Yes, to your way. I'm just wondering, is there anybody in here? You got a yes, Lord, down in your soul. My soul says yes, 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 Lord. Come on, wave, say yes, Lord. Come on, yes, Lord. Whatever you say, yes, Lord. Whatever you do, it's a yes, Lord. Yes, for such a time as this. You may be an Esther, you may be a David, but I dare you to tell the Lord yes. He said, remember who I am, and then remember who you belong to. And then last but not least, I want you to remember what the Lord has promised. Time does not contaminate what God has promised. God's promise, it don't have an expiration date. You know, sometimes the medicine and the food you eat have an expiration date. The medicine, it loses potent and its power. You take too much of it and it won't do you no good. Your food, it loses its flavor. But God's promises, they are yea and amen. God's promises, they never spoil and they never contaminate. God's promises, they never become outdated. God's promise, it'll never lose its power. It was 45 years when God spoke to Caleb, and it's 45 years later he received a promise. I stand by to let somebody know, hold on to the promises of your God. Hold on. Hold on to the promise. God never fails. God loves you. God is with you. Tell your neighbor, hold on to the promise. I gotta close, but hold. Hold. hold, hold on to the promise. If God said it, you better believe it, and that settles it. Do I have any believer? I said, do I have any believer that if God say it, I'm gonna believe it? If God say it, I'ma walk in it. If God say it, let the winds blow, let the rain fall, let the thunder roll, let the earth quake, let the lightning flash, but God keep promise. Never to leave me, never to forsake me. He promised to hold me with his right hand. He promised, when I get 90, I still have the promises of God. Mother can say, I once was young, but now I'm old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, all of his children, all of his grandchildren, all of your great-grand, all of your nephews, all of your nieces begging for bread. You are living on a promise. Don't forget where you come from. Hey. Yeah, Lordy. I'm blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed. I know I'm blessed. I'm not gonna forget it. I'm not gonna forget, cause I know I'm blessed. I got a pass, but I know I'm blessed. Yes. I've been talked about. I've been abused. I've been misused. I've been unappreciated. But that's my past. Oh, I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. This upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Lord, as I'm heaven bound, plant my feet on higher ground. Hallelujah. It's winter. Bring me my coat. Bring my books. And bring me John Mark. I don't know who your John Mark is, but just put John Mark on the shelf, because winter's coming. Don't let what John Mark did to you hinder you from today. That's really it right there. Don't let it hinder you for today. Don't make it make you so mad and upset today that you can't even give God praise for being blessed right now. And say, I know I'm blessed, but
You don't know what John Mark did to me. So I ain't going to say nothing today. Put John Mark on the shelf. And give God all the glory. Give him all of the praise. Don't forget who he is. Don't forget who you belong to. And then don't forget his promises.